Well, AWR is about broadcasting on all media platforms, broadcast to baptism. These are all the different things that we do. I won't talk about each one. We're starting a new CDE, a Center for Digital Evangelism, in the Philippines. We're going to start one in the U.S. and one in Europe and one in South America and one in Africa. You know, a lot of people go on the internet, and young people, they search for stuff, don't they? We don't do very good at the General Conference or at our conferences or our churches in connecting with people. And so that's what we're going to be doing with these centers where young people will come and use computers and cell phones. YouTube evangelism, our YouTuber, we have one right here, Mark Fox, that works with us. Facebook Live, cell phone evangelism. That's an amazing thing. Just started less than 2 years ago. And I will tell you the whole story. We'll do that this afternoon. But every week we connect with 250,000 people on WhatsApp around the world. Every week they're listening to Mark Finley's sermons. Isn't that amazing? Amen. Think of that. And people are walking in the churches. We'll talk about that this afternoon, asking to be baptized. We say, well, you have to study first. And they say, no, I know. And we'll say, well, how do you know? Well, my cell phone. Well, what do you know? Well, ask me. And Steve, they know. Because they've been listening. I know ASIs, which we can talk more when we have time this afternoon about the CDE and the Center for Digital Evangelism and our hopes there and what we can do together to do more. But the cell phone evangelism, just incredible. Let me just share this. I just wrote these countries down. New interest in cell phone evangelism and taking Bible studies from Thanksgiving time until Christmas. Morocco, Lebanon, U.S. Virgin Islands, Germany, Britain, British Virgin Islands, India, Burundi, Ethiopia, Saudi Arabia, Botswana. By the way, we just had a guy over in a country that I can't tell you where. he got the cell phone messages, and he immediately said, I want to know who Jesus is. And so we have this, I'll tell you about a friend we have over in Israel who is an Arab pastor there. And we got a hold of him. He said, well, tell him Jesus is, what was it, Kathy, rock? Yeah, Jesus is the rock. And so they sent that to him, and then they said, okay, now what do we tell him? Well, tell him to go to the Bible and read in the Bible and tell him who Jesus is. But go away from the Quran, which says that. So that's where they're at now. We'll pray for him. Sorry, I can't tell you the rest of the story, but it's thrilling. We have a place, a country, that we have tried ADRA. We have tried missionaries. We have had no members in that country. You lose your head there. And just a few months ago, they started listening to AWR on shortwave. Two people did. They were taken out of the country. They were baptized. They were sent back into the country. They now have 60 people studying in small groups. Amen? The first Adventist there in that country. Can't tell you where. Sorry. Well, these are the other things. A lot of fun, exciting things going on social media, and internet, and Facebook, and podcasts. And like us on Facebook, by the way. That's always good. Look at the videos there. Lots of new videos coming out every week. Joe Watts, I see you back there. Good to see you. And look, Joe will help you if you don't know. But we have a good representation here from AWR. Our comprehensive health evangelism, I think, is one of the newest things we're starting, and we're very excited about that because we believe the best way to reach people like in India and China is through comprehensive health evangelism. By the way, we just took, 49, Robert, Kathy, I think, to Mindoro to preach Chinese young adults, and they're back in China doing the sermons. The first time they've ever done evangelism in their lives. And we're going to start a training school. We were going to do it in China, but, you know, things are not good there now. And so we're going to do it in a neighboring country and have a training school for them. They can go there without a visa in the neighboring school. Tell all the world what he has done. Well, the devil is about telling the world what Satan is up to. And the media tells that story pretty well, don't they? You probably heard just recently about the killings in a mosque in New Zealand. Not long ago, there were some killings in a church in Mindanao in the Philippines. It's terrible. But I think God's people are supposed to tell the world what God is up to and what God is doing and how lives are being touched and changed around the world. 2 weeks ago, we were in Chennai, and a week before that, we talked to Wissam Ali. I'll tell you that story in just a second. We stopped by the Garden Tomb. It may not be the actual tomb. Maybe it's the one where the church is in Jerusalem. We're not sure, but the point is the tomb is empty. Amen. The tomb is empty. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if the tomb be not empty, if Christ be not raised, our faith is in vain. Yeah. I know it's empty. I heard a lawyer prove it. No, really. Think about it. Think about it. Just the next week, we were here in Chennai. You ever hear of Thomas? That's where he died. He was martyred there. Did you know that all the disciples, except for John, lost their heads or were crucified or died some horrific death? Every one of them. Now, just think about human nature. If you were lying about the resurrected Jesus, would you really die for a lie? No. That's how you can prove it, isn't it? Every one of them, they saw Jesus. They bleeded so much with all their hearts. They said, go ahead. And Peter said, crucify me upside down. I don't want to be crucified like Jesus. I'm not worthy of that. Every one of them. John, throw me in the, go ahead, put me in the boiling pot of oil. Didn't touch him. Because God had a mission for him. But all the rest of them died. Died. Terrible deaths. Because they had seen their resurrected Christ. They had been there not far from the garden tomb. They had been there. That's the place I would like to have been. I want to see that played back sometime there in Bethany, you know, when the disciples were around Jesus and all of a sudden he started going up. Can you imagine the impact? They had never seen Superman or Superwoman, any of that stuff. He was going up. And they were watching him. He's going up. And the angel said, you men from Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus will come in the same way. Amen. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. And he's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. Wow. What a message God has given this church. Wow. What a message. Yeah. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Yeah. Well, everybody can do something. Somebody said to me, some young person, I know what TMI means. I said, what is that? Too many people in Indianapolis. Total member involvement. Mrs. White makes it clear until all of us work together. Church members, church officers, pastors, administrators, Larry, till we all, like you were saying, join hands and work together. The work won't be finished and Jesus won't come. But I'm thankful for ASI. That's your dream and your vision, your passion, Steve, amen. Pat, amen. To work together. Floyd, yeah, Jesus is coming. Wow, everybody can do something. Yeah, HMS Richards used to say, the work will not be finished until all the preachers are put in jail. Kathy doesn't like that, and I don't care for it either. I like Mrs. White's version better. Don't you? The work of God in this earth can never be finished until the men and women comprising our church membership rally to the work and unite their efforts with those of ministers and church officers. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, and that's what we're about at ASI, and that's what AWR is about. That's what the church is about. Larry, that's what we do. Yeah, that's what we do. Here's the new AWR version. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be broadcast in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come. Wow. Jesus is coming as we broadcast, as we share in every way through the internet, whatever we can do. Luke 21:28. And when these things begin to happen, this afternoon we're going to talk about a young man. He's, Kathy, 20 years old, Akil? 22. He's been preaching to 150, then 170 Baptist preachers in India. They're asking about becoming Seventh-day Adventists. Isn't that incredible? Look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. We're the first generation, Steve, first generation capable of reaching the world in mere seconds. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. Yeah, China, 1.4 billion. Unbelievable. India, 1.3 billion. The things happening in India, it's absolutely amazing. Let me go to Israel. This is Wissam Ali, his wife Audrey, she was originally from South Africa, my wife, and then their daughter in front there, she's growing up real fast. And last year, we were there a year ago and took over 100 God pods with in Arabic with the Bible on them and Bible studies and things. The crazy things, you know, we unpacked them. And Robert, you remember that. We unpacked them because we were trying to get them all in one suitcase. So Kathy and I took them out of the boxes and stuck them in a suitcase together and put them in little plastic Ziploc bags. And we got to the airport and we heard noise. They had turned each other on. And so we go in and we find the ones that were talking and we take them, we turn them off, and then we check the bag through and we get to Germany and getting on LL Airlines going to Tel Aviv, and the security from LL comes up to us, the Israeli Airlines, and they said, "What do you have in your suitcase?" Well, we have these little radios, and they're pre-recorded, and you're hearing Arabic on them. They're Bible studies. And so they smiled, and they said, okay. Then we got to Israel, and we prayed as we got in Tel Aviv, that going through customs there, they wouldn't talk. And they were just as quiet as could be. Got in the car and they started talking again in Arabic. So we shared them with Wissam's family, his mom and his sisters. And Wissam has quite a story. 20 years ago, he was a young man. He lives in Nazareth, where he lives, about 85% of the people are Arabic. And so he lives in this four-story house. Next door is his uncle, another four-story house. His dad was a chief of the clan, the tribe, about 1,800, 2,000 people. The uncle is a religious leader. And so his sister goes off to Europe, to Austria, and finds a crazy place called Bogenhofen. And ends up in school there. And he hears that she's become a Christian. So he's sent by the tribe to go there and kill her. He gets there, and she says... He only has her phone number, and so he calls her. He says, "Sis, I've come to kill you. You become a Christian." And she says, "I know. But give me a year. Just let me live for one more year before you kill me, and I'll tell you where I'm at." And so he said, well, since he didn't know where she was, he said, "Okay, you have a year." Well, her fiancé got him somehow to Bogenhofen to give him a place to stay for the year. And through a series of encounters with the theology teacher, it's online, you can watch the story on awr.org, he becomes a Christian. So he goes back to Israel, he meets with the tribal council, and they said, "Did you kill your sister?" And he said, "First you must tell me who this Jesus is in the Quran." And they got angry, and his uncle said, "Stone him!" And so the uncle's boys picked up stones and started throwing at Weesum. He fell down, and Weesum's father said, "Save your brother," to his other sons, and they fell on him. They took him to the ER, and a few days later, he got out of the hospital and came back. And same thing happened. He had to go to the tribal council, and they said, "Well, did you kill her?" He said, "I'll tell you, but you must tell me first who this Jesus is in the Quran." Stone him again, back to the hospital. And so his parents said, "Weesum, you better leave." And so he went back to Europe. He started studying at Bogenhofen, went to South Africa for a break, met Audrey, then went to Southern Adventist University and became a pastor. And for a number of years now, he's pastored over in Europe, in Austria. And so we had heard about this, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, I believe. He was called to be a pastor in Nazareth. So he calls up his mother. He says, "Mom, they want me to come back and be a pastor of the church, our Adventist church in Nazareth. Is it safe?" "Well, your uncle is dead. And our house, our family, will protect you. Come. We'll protect you." And so came back, and then this is last year we ended up there with these God pods, and he was telling the story. We met with the family, and he's become the school board chairman of the largest Arab Muslim school, public school, in Israel. Yeah. And they asked him, they said, or he they asked him to be the school board chairman. He said, "Why would you ask me? I'm a Christian." They said, "We know. But I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I'll talk about Jesus. We know. I'll have prayer. I'll talk about God. We know. Well, why would you ask me?" "We trust you." Amen. He says the worst thing you can do to an Arab is bait and switch. You need to be honest. They respect that. Well, he's living next door in this four-story house. Next door is their four-story house, the uncle and his family who had vowed to kill him because he'd become a Christian. It's been tense. Audrey told Kathy a few days ago, "It's just been terrible. Terrible." So, early one morning, it's been 6 months now, Audrey hears noise outside. She goes to the window, opens the curtains. It's early in the morning, and she looks down and she sees a crowd of young men, their cousins from next door, screaming at Weesum. "They're going to kill him. They're going to kill him." And so she closes the curtains, she falls on her knees, and she begins to cry, "God, save my husband." One of the young men, 20 years old, cousin, the son of his direct cousin, second cousin, slips up behind him, takes a knife, stabs him. Another one takes a steak fork and stabs him on the other side. Both the knife and the fork bend. Can you imagine that? You know, that we were there a year ago in Israel, and there was a tourist that was killed in Jerusalem by stabbing. It's against the law for the Arabs to carry handguns, but they can carry knives. That's their preferred way of creating terror. He dropped the knife. Here's bent, 90 degrees. His brother, Eweson's brother, bends down, picks it up, hands it back to him, and says, "Take the knife. Never come here again." And as he's walking away, he turns and says to Weesum, "I'll kill you. You won't know how. You won't know when. You won't know where, but I'll kill you." Well, 3 weeks ago, we were at church, preached in Tel Aviv. They tell us the rest of the story. Just 10 days before that, these two cousins who had vowed to kill him on a motorcycle near Nazareth came around a corner, ran head on into a semi truck. One is killed immediately, the other one died a week later. So when we were there, they were in the process of the funeral, and they were going to the funeral. You see, Weason's brother had said to him when they had vowed to kill him after the stabbing attempt, he said, "We're going to plan an attack on their house." And Weason said, "No, wait. God will fight for us. God will fight for you. Be still," God says. "I'll fight for you." What a God. Amen. Amen. What a God. Yeah. So pray for them. Just talked to him a couple of days ago. He's translating sermons, cell phone sermons. We're going to, with his voice in Arabic, it'll be good Arabic so that they can be used all across the Middle East. Amazing. Just briefly, Robert put this video together. Did you see any of you see the video last week? Oh, good. I'm glad you didn't. Maybe two or three. Good. Let me quickly show you this video. This is an area in the Philippines that is controlled by rebels. For 50 years, they've been trying to overthrow the government. Have you heard about the rebels in the Philippines? They're always bombing the churches, and they kill people in Mindanao all across the mountains. I think two or three of you went on a mission trip when we were here to the Philippines. And to give us free passage, we would buy $1,000 worth of medicines, Larry, and send them up into the mountains and give them to the rebels. And then they liked us, and they would give us free passage back and forth, and they would protect us. It was a, yeah. And so these are the rebels. They control the mountains. Well, 2 years ago, we started broadcasting, and they started listening. We've had 16 pastors in the valley come to us and say, "We want to become Adventist in Mindoro." And then we asked them, "Well, what about your churches?" They had lots and lots of churches all across. Well, they've been listening to your radio, too, and they all want to become Adventist. Isn't that thrilling? And so the rebels, we've sent some doctors up, some medical workers, and the rebels are listening to AWR, and their hearts are being touched. This is a team of doctors and us. Before, we were just there in August and went up. We were, Kathy and I, and well, all the whole team, Robert too, we all went by helicopter because it's a all-night walk through mud up the mountain. And the first day we could go on horses, and Kathy said, "I'm not going on a horse." So we fly up there, and we baptize. It was such a thrill, Larry. Five rebel generals. Amen. Five rebel generals. These are the rebels. Yeah, we had a medical clinic right there, and we preached. And we've had Bible workers there. They've been working with them for some time now and listening to the radio broadcast. And we have new churches. Can you imagine? In a rebel village. Before I show the video, I want to tell you this story. Jocelyn, a few months ago, she and her husband were in their rebels. He has his AK-47 in the house. They're in a mountain village. And all of a sudden, they hear noise outside early one morning, and then bullets start flying through the house. She grabs the kids and runs out the back door. He grabs his AK-47, runs out the front door. She never sees him again. She hides in the jungle. She's so angry. So angry. She takes the AK-47 and becomes a rebel herself and teaches her boys how to shoot. Then a few months ago, she started hearing this broadcast on Adventist World Radio, and she learns about forgiveness, and she learns about Jesus. And she and her kids were baptized. 3 weeks ago, she's sitting in church, and she says to Robert Dulé, "Pastor, why didn't you come sooner? If we had heard sooner about Jesus, my husband would have been in church with me." We need to broadcast. We need to use the internet. We need to do everything possible. Talking to our friends and neighbors, sharing Jesus in the marketplace, wherever possible. 2 years ago, we had almost no work in the mountains with the rebels. We're now in 91 villages by God's grace. Wow. When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness, I want Jesus to come, don't you?
Amen. Amen.
Father in heaven, I want to thank you for ASI, for their wonderful support, for finishing the work, for all the different ministries they support to reach to the ends of the earth so this gospel can be preached and will be preached, and Jesus will come. Bless us to that end in Christ's name. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.